This is Quick Shots with Will of Two Drunken Penguins and Antarctican's Anonymous Radio Production. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. Well, hopefully the boys and girls aren't actually listening because I curse so much. But nonetheless, welcome once again to Quick Shots. I am back. As promised, here I be. Another night of my thoughts on, well, the world of sports, obviously. So, let's just kind of dive right into this. Last night, I was speaking about WNBA and how, and then this women's sports kind of in general, I touched on how they're not getting much love in the world of sports. I mean, we know they're out there, but we really don't get, you know, they don't get hyped up. Like, you know, their counterparts, at least. There's not a lot of excitement. I mean, I don't really want to put it, I don't want to make it sound ugly, but it is. There's not much excitement that comes with, hey, you want to watch a WNBA game tonight? What? Not really. So, I did have, actually, one response in suggestion-wise to help out women's sports, but it still kind of came down to it's a promotion thing. They are just not getting promoted properly. They're not able to pull out individuals from the sport to bolster their matchups. I mean, it's not something that, you know, you can really mark down on your calendars and get excited about. That's what I'm really thinking that they need. They need star power, and they're not looking for it. I mean, I'm sure it's there, but they haven't just, like, clung on to individuals as hard as they will in the male sports. So, if they were to do that, I think it actually might help a little bit. Might get that interest, you know, building up a little bit here and there, till finally, hey, I do like this team. And it's not just because of this one player. I actually like the team, so I'm going to start following this sport because of this team. Once you start being able to get invested into a team, whatever the sport is, you can't help. I mean, well, some people just can drop off like flies, but that's because they're fair weather fans. But if you're a true fan, once you start getting interested in a particular team, not just individual, but if you can get invested into a team, then you will start actually liking the sport overall. Get involved in fantasy sports, and then you really start noticing everybody. Dear God. let me tell you, I wasn't going to mention about this tonight, but it just kind of hit me. Fantasy sports really make you pay close attention to a lot of individuals. Not just your team. Not just one guy on your team. No, you're looking at everybody. You can't help it. If you're wanting to actually have a chance of winning, you're going to be trying to pay attention to every game that's going on. Even if it's just following a stat tracker or something like that, you're going to be hard pressed on it. So, honestly, I think that might be their best bet. It's not necessarily fantasy sports for WNBA or women's hockey or soccer or field hockey or lacrosse or anything like that. But, you know, eventually they'll probably come along. But you've got to build a true fan base for these teams and not just the parents and the family members of the players. I mean, that's what kind of seems to boil down to anytime you watch a game. Where are you going? Who are these fans? Are they truly fans of the sport? Are they just thinking, hey, that girl's hot? What is the following? You know. But once they are able to actually start picking out individual players and say, hey, this one, start talking them up nonstop, like they do LeBron, like they do Steph Curry, you know, like they do Kawhi Leonard, like they do Kevin Durant. I mean, it's a bunch of individual players in the NBA that they talk a lot about. Kobe Bryant was huge. Michael Jordan, of course, was huge. Everybody talked about him. But when you watched basketball back in the 90s, you knew there was a whole lot more to. I mean, even if you didn't like the Bulls, you pretty much knew every single person on that team. But now I'm starting to digress. But yeah, if they can start building interest in at least one particular player of each team, then they can start building a couple more players on the team and build that interest, get people to actually pay attention to that sport more readily because, oh, you know, I've heard that name a few times. And it's more than just, you know, blip, like I said. They happen to mention one name in that 15 little second highlight reel of whatever game. So, to me, that is what will help. If you've got other ideas, once again, like I said, hit me up, let me know. Gladly contemplate them and potentially talk about them on here. And we can go from there. But the other thing that we talked about last night was AB, Antonio Brown. Yes, that poor soul. So I kind of had a few more ideas in which I wanted to discuss just to finally wrap up him for good. I really don't want to have to create a segment just on AB for every single show, because that's going to be tiresome. I don't want to have to do it. I don't like the guy that much, but he's just been so prominent in the news, you can't help but end up with your own thoughts and theories and whatnot in regards to everything. So, my thing with AB, I mean, he showed up in my notifications again today. And I'll talk a little about him with that. But what I wanted to dive into was the whole helmet issue, because it bothered me. I said I was going to talk about it later, and then I kind of forgot. But here we go. The helmet issue to me. There was opportunity by the NFL, the NFLPA, and AB to have squashed this early on. Nobody stepped up and did what needed to be done. The NFL had the opportunity to come and be like, alright, fine. If you want, or if you're so hell-bent on wearing this old helmet, then sign this documentation right here, stating that you know of the liability that this helmet holds, and that the NFL, NFLPA, all of us are no longer liable for any injuries that come from you wearing it. That's option number one. Okay? Option number two would have been the NFLPA, the Players Association, coming up and just shaking the shit out of him and being like, dude, shut the fuck up now. And here's why I'm saying that they need to do that. They should have done that. They missed their opportunity. And it really kind of overshadows what they've been working so hard on with the NFL and their CBA. The NFLPA, for at least the last two CBAs that they have come in agreement with the NFL over, has been rock solid about player safety. Let me repeat this once again because it is important. It is player safety. Okay? Ever since the report came out about CTE being a lifetime ailment that can occur and cause all sorts of messed up shit to happen to you because it's a disease. It comes from multiple concussions. So, when you look at that, when I first heard about it, my first thought went to one of my former teammates in high school. He eventually had to quit playing football in high school because of the many concussions he ended up getting in his short career. I mean, he played, what, two seasons? Not even a complete two seasons with me because of all of his concussions that he received. My hope was that maybe he was young enough that he was able to heal properly from it all, and that the CTE wouldn't have a chance to, come into effect. But this is a concern. The NFLPA gone out and was like, the NFL, you're not doing enough to protect the players. It's no longer safe for the players because we have discovered the long-term effects of these concussions. I'm from the era of dudes getting smashed in the mouth nonstop. I watched one of my first games I ever watched in of that I can remember. It was the Steelers versus Raiders. And the Steelers went out there and one defensive player went high, one went low, and absolutely crunched the shit out of this Raider player. And I loved it. I thought that was incredible. And I became a fan of the Steelers just because of that. I don't even know who won. I have said this repeatedly whenever people have asked me about why do you like the Steelers? What was the cause? That was the initial cause. I have yet to still go and look up who actually won that game from all those years ago. I can do it. I'm just being lazy. Sorry. Nonetheless, that's what I saw, and I fell in love with football because of that. As I've gotten older, I've seen, all these older guys, they're decrepit. Literally. I mean, they're falling apart because of all the punishment their bodies took. You're talking about, maybe 10 years, sometimes more, sometimes a little bit less in the NFL, plus the years in college, plus their high school years, plus maybe even peewee football. That's a lot of time taking this type of abuse. But, they're finally looking at it like, hey, maybe these guys, once they're hitting 60, don't want to be in a wheelchair for the rest of their lives because their body's falling apart so much. We need to protect the players. So, yes, technically the league has gotten softer. I can't. It hurts because of what I used to watch and what I loved. But at the same time, I can understand it, and I look forward to how they will progress with this. But the NFL, they made their agreement with the NFLPA to make the game safer for the players. So they have devoted lots of time, lots of money into the development of safer helmets to help minimize. They're not going to completely get rid of concussions, but they are going to try to help minimize the chances for these concussions. I'm all for that. Yay, NFL, way to go. Congratulations. You're holding up your end of the bargain. The NFLPA, that was their main, you know, that was their coup de grace or whatever. They wanted, that was their main sticking point was, NFL, you've got to do better about player safety. NFL is holding up their deal. And then you've got Antonio Brown over here shitting all over it. And he is a member of the NFLPA. Otherwise, his face wouldn't be all over Madden. Just saying. He is a prominent member. He might not be in the board meetings, but he is a member of the Players Association. So if you've got a player that's sitting there saying, "Oh, but I can't see because of these new helmets." Dude, there are so many helmet manufacturers out there. You can easily find one, especially before the beginning of preseason even, that will work for you. I mean, let's not disregard the whole fact that you're supposed to be this elite wide receiver. You've demanded, pretty much, without necessarily saying, "I want it," but you've demanded that you be triple covered at times. Not double coverage. No, triple coverage. And you'll still catch the ball. That's how you were in Pittsburgh. I don't know if you can do that anymore just because you're in a weird headspace. But that's what you've shown. And now all of a sudden, this helmet is the problem. I can't see. If you practiced with the helmet that you claim is hurting your vision, you would get used to it. You'd overcome that obstacle. But you wanted to make a big show of it. So, I want my old helmet. NFLPA should have come up to him and said, "Look, either get out of the NFLPA, and you do whatever the fuck you want to do with your helmet, or shut the fuck up. Because we tried so hard to make sure that the NFL did stuff to protect us as players, help minimize the chances for concussion, and you're claiming that, oh, but the new helmet doesn't help me see." Dude, seriously? Come on. That has bothered me. NFLPA had an opportunity to make sure that what they were so stuck on for their bargaining agreements with player safety actually meant something. But they actually allowed this to happen. They allowed this player to make a big ruckus about wanting to wear an old helmet that is deemed no longer safe. The NFL did all their testing, spent all their money, and have agreed that this helmet that AB was wearing is not one of the helmets that can still be worn because it's not up to par with the newer stuff that they came out with. If I'm a player, fuck my old helmet. Give me that new shit. I'm looking forward to being a bit safer as I play the game. The game is evolving. Evolve with it. Plain and simple. The NFL had an opportunity to do something with them. The NFLPA had a chance to do something about it. Antonio Brown, he easily could have done something differently. But once again, to me, it was all just show, just so he could make his way out of Oakland without ever having to actually play for Oakland. Get his chance to go to New England. I know, conspiracy theories, whatever. I don't care. It's just how I see it. Maybe it's just because I'm a Steeler fan. Maybe I have some merit, but you don't want to admit it. Whatever. But that to me, that whole situation, that whole scenario, that was one of the biggest things that just stuck in my craw. And so now I can officially say there is nothing more I can talk about with AB except for this last little tidbit, which is the accusations that he's dealing with. And that's what came across my news feed today, was the fact that the only person that did actually accuse him of sexual misconduct is not going to be able to press charges because of the statute of limitations. So he's essentially getting away scot-free. His reputation is tarnished, that's for damn sure. But, what does that have to do with anything? Because there's nothing tangible to throw forward. Was she actually a victim? I will never know now, apparently. It's one of those things. Will he end up in the Hall of Fame? Probably, unless there's more victims that decide to step up and they've got proof to go with it, and there's no limits on when they can make their claim. So, it is what it is now with him. But I promise you, hopefully, this is the very last that I will have to talk about AB for a long time. That's the goal. All right, folks, I'm gonna take a break. I'm gonna come back a little bit later with something more. Hey, all right. So, now that we've gotten all that out of the way, on to the actual main topic for the evening. I wanted to actually take time to discuss those that have held out this year. The big names of that actually held out from training camp and preseason, and I mean, we've even still got a couple of them on holdout right now, and it's week two, starting of week three in the NFL. So wanted to discuss the these different individuals and my whole take on these. So first off, we had Ezekiel Elliott. Everyone knows he's this standout running back for the Dallas Cowboys. Who actually still had 2 years left on his contract, but he decided, no, I want an extension, I want a bigger payday, and I want it now. So he held out. We had also Jadeveon Clowney from the Houston Texans defensive end. He was getting franchise tagged, and he wasn't about that. He'd rather have either a long-term deal or be part of a team that was going to get him a long-term deal. Then there was Melvin Gordon, who is running back for the Los Angeles Chargers. And I'm still trying to get used to that name, but I'm so used to the San Diego Chargers, but yeah, not no more. And then there was also Trent Williams, the tackle for the Washington Redskins. So those were like the four big names this year that decided to hold out. And essentially, when you're holding out, you're wanting a new contract. So that's your bargaining chip is, I'm not going to play until you pay me. First and foremost, whenever I see something like that, I can't personally, I'm not a GM, I'm not an owner, but if I was, how can you sit there and think, all right, yeah, this guy's really good, but the commitment level to the team, he's not here. Why would I reward somebody that's not still showing up and doing his part? The Trent Williams situation is kind of completely different out of the other three because he's having an issue also with the medical staff of the team. So it's not necessarily him getting this new contract, bigger money, or anything like that. He's got an issue with the staff. And since the staff isn't changing, he's not playing. I mean, you gotta respect them for that. It's not a money situation per se. It's not, I'm sure if he was to show up, he'd be getting a contract or whatever, and money would of course be doled out to him. But he's not, that's not his main purpose. That's not one of his main reasons for not being with the team. So yeah, I mean, I gotta give him some props for that. He feels like the team can provide better health care and should, and rightfully so, they should. Because you can't expect a person to go out there putting his body on the line and then just, oh, let me put a little band-aid over that. Dude, my arm's broken. Oh no, the band-aid's gonna heal you. I mean, of course, I like to exaggerate a little bit if you haven't been able to figure that out, but you get my point. So then we go to Jadeveon Clowney. He actually was franchised. That, oh, let's get this. So the franchise tag is, one year guaranteed money. It's going to be an average of top five positions, their salary, or 120% of that player's previous year's salary. I mean, and then if you get franchise tagged a second year, then it's 120% of that previous year. Or if you manage to go 3 years of consecutive tags, it's going to be 144% of that previous season, or the average of the top five of the top paid position, which is typically quarterback. So, I mean, if you get franchise tagged, you're getting paid. There's nothing, no doubt about that. But what they mainly are concerned about, these players, is the long-term deal. They don't want just that 1 year. All right, yeah, I'm making good money off this 1 year. They want years to go along with it. They want the guarantees in money. They want a larger contract, whatever, at least to feel like they are appreciated. I can sort of get that. All right. Yes. As me and Robbie discussed in previous episode on Two Drunken Penguins, They make a shit ton of money. I mean, it's ridiculous. All these professional sports, they make a shit ton of money. Most everybody in the world would be happy with some of these veteran minimum salaries that these guys can get. Not to mention what the top players are getting. It's just ridiculous. But because the money has gotten to where it's gotten, you start seeing, all right, these different players, this guy is the best of the best at his position. He should be paid like it. That's what Ezekiel Elliott was looking at. But we'll get back to that in a minute. Jadeveon Clowney, he got his franchise tag. He didn't sign it because he was looking for the long-term deal or be put on a team that will get him the long-term deal. That's exactly what he ended up getting. He signed his franchise tag and got traded to the Seahawks. So now he's on potentially a better overall team than the Texans. I mean, he definitely helps out their defense in Seattle because their defense has kind of fallen apart since their, couple Super Bowl runs. Legion of Boom is no longer. I mean, you've got a lot of young boys up in there, but they're not of the same caliber of players as Richard Sherman's, the Earl Thomas, guys like that. So to add a name like Jadeveon Clowney to the defensive line is a big plus. And Pete Carroll and the Seahawks seem to have no problem with bringing in big guys and throwing some money at them whenever the time's right. So, will he get his long-term contract? It's quite possible. Or maybe next year we're going to see him move to a completely different team. But as far as the as far as now, like Ezekiel Elliott has, like I said, he had 2 years remaining on his contract. He decides, I am the best running back in the league. Pay me long term and pay me like I am the best. Now, Jerry Jones had an opportunity of a lifetime to set these players straight, set an example for the league as an owner towards these players that are willing to sit out and be like, you know, you want me, I'm the best thing smoking, you'd better pay me so I can come out there and actually do what I do best. I don't like that. I cannot get behind a guy that does not want to show up and be a part of the team. Reward the guy that shows up, does his work, and doesn't, bring attention to his contract. Reward that guy. Like Julio Jones, he was coming up on the end of his contract this year. Arthur Blank, the owner of the Falcons, said, don't worry, I've got you. We're going to have a new deal. It's coming. Julio Jones, he didn't hold out. He shows up to practice, goes through, and doesn't worry about it because he said, hey, if Mr. Blank says it's going to happen, it's going to happen. I've got nothing to worry about. I'm just going to focus on me and the betterment of this team. That's the guy that deserves the big contract out of anybody. He's the one that would deserve it. And sure enough, he got it. He got a nice new contract. Jerry Jones had an opportunity to be like, look, if you're not part of the team, then we're not going to worry about trying to keep you on the team. You don't want to be here? Fine. You can sit out. You're not going to get a chance to play on another team this year, but you're not playing for us. He had that chance. Jones had that chance, and he fucked it up. Because he went and decided to pay Zeke a 6-year extension for $90 million. 50 of it guaranteed. Now he is the highest paid running back per year at $15 million. $15 million per year at running back. That is incredible. I mean, that's followed by Todd Gurley of the Rams with $14.4 million. Le'Veon Bell with his 13.1, which would have been a whole lot more if he had been with the Steelers and accepted the deal. But yeah, whatever. And then you got David Johnson of the Cardinals with $13 million. And then there's this gap of $5 million between Johnson and the next highest paid running back, Devontae Freeman of the Falcons. And the wild thing is, you've got Melvin Gordon, who thinks he should be up there. He thinks he should be up in that upper two of 15 and 14.4 million dollars per year. Melvin Gordon is a decent running back. He's a great running back for the Chargers and their situation. Is he worth, between 15 and 14.4 million dollars a year? No. I mean, I'm sure there's probably some owner or GM out there that's like, "Oh, Melvin Gordon, hell yes, pay him whatever. Just we want him on our team." Doesn't mean he's going to fit your scheme, so you'll waste money. But that's what you're wanting to do. Whatever. Again, I'm not an owner. I'm not a GM. I'm not in that decision process. But from what I've seen, he is a good back for the system that he's in. Might not be able to translate outside of that particular system well. Does he deserve to be in the top five? I could see him making nine, maybe $10 million. Does he want $9 or $10 million? Hell no. So guess what he's getting to do? He's getting to sit his ass at home right now. And considering the way Eckler is running the ball for the Chargers, they almost don't need Gordon. That's sort of backfiring on him a little bit. The fact that the guy that should be his backup is burning it up out there right now. Kind of like how Connor did it for the Steelers to an extent while Bell was gone. Everyone was like, "Oh, the Steelers aren't going to do anything because Bell's sitting out." And then Connor went out there and was producing like a man on fire. I mean, he got hurt, kind of slowed things up a little bit, but it's still same concept, just a different team now. And was Bell worthy of getting paid a high dollar amount? Yes. Should he have taken his franchise tag? Yeah, I mean, you were already getting paid upwards of $13, $14 million per season. I mean, that's even a crazy thing right there. He took a pay cut from his franchise tag. He was supposed to get 14 mil from his franchise tag last season. He's like, no, I can do better than that. Sits out the whole year and now is making $1 million less per year on a miserable ass team with the Jets. To me, it kind of serves him right. But, you know, that's the chances that you take with this. You sit out. To me, you shouldn't be rewarded. That should knock you down a few pegs. You know, you almost become a bargain deal once you do that. That's how the owner should view it. Because if you don't take what's being offered, thinking you can get more and hold out and avoid being around the team, being a part of the team like you should be, then you shouldn't be rewarded. Yeah, you might get a new deal, but it should not be anywhere close to what you could have made if you had just showed your ass up to work. All right, folks. I've exhausted this point. I'm going to take a little break again, and then we'll come back, wrap this up, get set up for tomorrow night. Alright, folks, that's gonna do it for me. This is a wrap for the night. I'm going to end up coming back to you tomorrow night once again. I'm gonna try to dive into the actual NFL season so far. For the first couple weeks, what has surprised me, what hasn't, and then what my expectations are for the rest of the season for a few teams. Really don't feel like I'll be able to do all 32 teams, but you never know. So we're gonna go from there, and y'all have a good one. This has been once again an Antarctican's Anonymous Radio production. Will from Two Drunken Penguins. I am out.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.